Okay, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast, the Week 16 Recap Edition. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
All right, so we are winding down to the final week of the regular season.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I know. Unbelievable how fast the 2016 season went by. But the Pats stand at 13-2, atop the AFC.
Yep.
As we certainly expected to see, even despite losing Tom Brady for four games, here we are, 13-2, a chance to clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Our only competition for that is really the Raiders, who are 12-3. How about that? The fucking Raiders, 12-3.
Yep.
Haven't been to the postseason in 14 years.
And they lose their ultimate player to injury week 15. Week 16,
yeah. And they were winning by like 19 points in the fourth quarter. Derek Carr gets rolled up on. I mean,
breaks his leg.
Yeah. And we've seen Brady in games that late before plenty of times.
Yeah.
This week, he got yanked at the very end of the third quarter, which might have had something to do with this thigh knee injury he's been nursing.
That plus we were up by 30-something. What was it? 34-3?
Jeez, it was...
No, 34-0.
34-0 at the end of the third quarter.
When he got pulled. So,
kind of reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, whether it was the thigh or not, you know... That's pretty understandable to pull the starter at that point.
So, yeah, I mean, just like what you just said sums it all. The Pats were winning. They were up 10-0 after our first two possessions, and it just kept rolling from there. All the way up to 27-0 at halftime. Didn't stop. 34-0. And then it was finally 41-0 when the Jets decided to pull up and kick a field goal from, like, the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah.
They just didn't want to get shut out. You know it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, they had nothing going for them. It's incredibly, I think it's hilarious how they've tried to every way possible to keep Fitzpatrick out of the game. And I think every single game they benched him, he played. Someone got hurt and he played.
Yeah, well, Bryce Petty
got hurt twice.
Yeah, the last two games. Geno Smith started one game, got hurt.
Destroyed in like the first pass or something.
Like
the first quarter. And Hackenberg doesn't even play.
Yeah, he wasn't even dressed.
They're already talked
for this last game.
Well, they already said that he's a complete waste of a draft pick. They're already considering him the worst draft pick ever.
How could that
not ever
be possible?
But, yeah, I mean, it's like the guy hasn't even played, and they're like, yeah, he can't play quarterback.
But he's 3 years out of high school. I mean, he's in the same situation Jared Goff is. They're like 21 years old.
Yeah,
barely played in the NFL. Hackenberg hasn't even played yet. How could you write somebody off just like that?
Already writing them off. I don't know. Well, maybe because they see the guy across the field, Tom Brady, who went 17 for 27 for 214 yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah,
not too shabby.
He was good, but he wasn't perfect.
He wasn't perfect, no. But
there was that throw. Well, we had a third. I think it was a third and goal in the first quarter when we were still, you know, trying to score points.
Hmm.
And Edelman ran like a wheel route. And Brady was looking that side of the field and somehow missed Edelman, who was wide open on that wheel route. Like in a closer game, that's a big miss because that's 7 points down to three.
Yeah.
But I mean, I understand what you're saying. Most of the time he was good. I mean, you look at these numbers, 8 yards per attempt, three touchdowns, no picks, 97 QBR. You got to be pretty happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's really not much to talk about in this game. Offense played pretty good. They had, you know, balanced running game. Blount got two touchdowns, giving him 17 on the year. I mean, there were 1 yard touchdowns, but
yeah,
still
leads the NFL Patriots record.
That's pretty crazy. Julian Edelman once again had another strong game. That's four or five games in a row now. He's been doing pretty good. He's almost up over 1,000 yards.
He's
quietly
at 90 catches.
Yeah.
Tied pretty, for seventh in the league.
Pretty good there. You know, Bennett had a big catch. Malcolm Mitchell continues to improve. James White, Deion Lewis, Chris Hogan. I mean, everyone seems to be improving. And on top of that, the defense hasn't allowed a touchdown in 2 weeks.
Woo! Yeah, yeah. How about James White's touchdown catch?
Yeah.
When he just runs up the seam and then he breaks it to the corner and he just toasted David Harris. I think it was Harris.
Yeah.
Perfect ball.
Unbelievable.
Coming right over the top.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that was so sweet. And then Bennett's touchdown, when he's in the slot sick. On the left, he does a little stutter at the goal line, gets in between the two defenders, Brady lofts it, and that's where you see 6-7.
Yeah, just come to
nice
life.
Nice and easy. Matt Langle had a touchdown. Matt fucking Langle.
That was a really nice catch, too.
Yeah, it was. He got hit immediately, but he was wide open. Woo, was he wide open. Those linebackers didn't drop at all. I mean, just like that. Boom, boom, boom. Those three touchdowns were all nice plays. God, I wish he hit Julian on that wheel route. How about there was another third and goal where we just wound up throwing like a fade to Edelman. It's like, is that really your play call?
Yeah.
A fade to a 5'10 receiver? What happened on the play was Bennett was on the left side and he missed the blitzing cornerback coming off the left side. He went down and doubled on whoever the DN was.
Mm-hmm.
Blitzing cornerback came through and Brady had no choice. He just had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But still a fade to Edelman? Get out of here. Why is he even running that route?
You'd know better than me.
I know, right? But we leaned heavy on the running game in this matchup, which was the exact opposite of what we saw when they faced each other a month ago, when we barely ran the ball. This time we ran the ball over 60% of the time. A lot of that has to do with the giant lead. A lot of that has to do with wanting to protect your quarterback, which Brady looked a little uncomfortable, at least at the very beginning. It was like it's like he was used to playing the Jets and he had too much respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are not the same Jets that we saw last year. It's like his respect level was too high, and he was like, "I gotta get rid of it." And it's like, dude, take your time. Yeah. Nobody's trying on that side. Nobody green gives a fuck.
Nobody. And it showed. It showed. I mean, it's all across defensively. I mean, it seemed like they couldn't complete a pass without us picking it off for a few series there. Butler had two picks, basically tying his season lead, which is pretty impressive. Eric Rowe got one.
Yeah, nice that was to see a nice one. Nice
that was one. A nice one. I had a couple sacks, you know, Sheard, Branch, Chris Long got in there.
Playing like well.
Trey Flowers continues to play well. I mean, they're all defensively, you know, Jamie Collins trade I'm still not happy about, but I don't know if that's the reason to wake these guys up or what happened, but they're clearly playing pretty good football.
Well, it didn't wake them up right away.
Definitely not right away, but
it took a couple weeks, and then I don't know, maybe part of it being Hightower being injured as well. And then like Van Noy was coming in there and putting things together. And all, the edge rushers really have come on of late.
They've really flourished.
Chris Long, Sheard in particular.
Yeah.
Trey Flowers has turned into a very viable starter for this team.
And well, like you said, Hightower didn't even play in this game. And they only let up 3 points. I mean, we know what kind of offense we're talking about. But still, a 3-point game in the NFL is pretty hard to come by.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Yeah.
And Alandon Roberts took his spot, basically. He led the defense in tackles. He was out there calling defense for most of the time. Van Noy did a little bit as well.
Forced a fumble.
Yeah, Alandon Roberts did. And guess who? Johnny on the spot, Malcolm Butler. 3 takeaways for Malcolm Butler in this.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
He's making them regret not putting him on the Pro Bowl team.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he must have been pissed about that. Seems like he's pissed about that.
He looks every bit of an All-Pro right now, never mind a Pro Bowler. I mean, I know how good those other guys are. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing, you know, earlier in the year when we played the Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a good game. Bryce Petty was in there for a quarter or two. He went 0 for 3 for an interception.
Yep.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick went 8 for 21 and 2 interceptions.
Combined, they had a completion percentage of 33%.
With 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. I don't know if you can get any worse. I really don't.
As bad as it gets, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you can get any worse.
We got on here last week and we talked about containing Bilal Powell, and for the most part, they did that.
Yeah.
He didn't break anything huge. No like back-breaking third down conversions or anything. He had a pretty decent game, 15 carries for 60 yards. He had a couple catches. Would he have 2 for 14?
But I mean, he was it.
He was it. Brandon Marshall didn't have a catch until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Brandon fucking Marshall, that guy averages like 7 catches a game for his career.
They couldn't do anything. They didn't want to do anything. It's like it all fell apart for them. I don't know.
They got to fire Todd Bowles, right? I blame most of the shit that's happened to the Jets on the GM for, you know, signing Fitzpatrick and signing Revis and bringing in all these veteran contracts. And so it's just an older team with like not enough underneath it.
I don't think Bowles is a bad coach. I mean, he's clearly lost the locker room. So, I mean,
that's why
that's big, you know, that's big. You can't lose the locker room. I mean, that's number one, but the GM should definitely be fired.
Yeah. GM should be fired first, but yeah, Bowles. I mean, yeah, exactly what you said. it seems like they don't respect him. It seems like they're not playing for shit. It's like
they don't care. He has no control.
Get that back. He's not just going to be all of a sudden their favorite coach to play for next season.
Right.
It's gone. It's over.
I mean, there's a lot of these guys. There's a lot of carryover, too. I mean, this year, you know, there's definitely been some bad coaching, but I think GM-wise, I think there's going to be a lot there. At least should be. I know GMs, you don't really, they kind of have a little more job security for some reason than coaches do in general. I mean, not that they're very secure, but, you know, comparatively to coaches, coaches are like, they fucking get rid of 10 a year.
Yeah.
GMs, it's like a third of that.
Yeah, it seems like they get a standard 5 years.
You're right. I think this year there should be some the GM firing should be a bloodbath.
The coaches have already started to fall.
Well, I'm sorry. What was it?
Coaching vacancies have already started. You know.
Yeah.
We mentioned Jeff Fisher previously and Gus Bradley in Jacksonville. Now Rex Ryan gets the axe a week early.
Rex and Rob.
And well, you can't just keep one of them.
I know. You got to get rid of them. But like, the Houston GM should get fired.
Oh,
absolutely.
Rick Smith down there. Yeah. Oh God. Picking up Osweiler.
Not even that. Like, you just think about the whole quarterback situation since he's been there. It's probably been the most botched thing I've ever seen in my goddamn life. Hoyer. What's his name from the
Mallett? Brent.
Mallett. That whole Mallett situation was terrible. And then now Osweiler. It's like, you make that move, you get fired. I would have loved to see the conversation between him and Bill O'Brien when Bill O'Brien was like, yeah, we're gonna bench Osweiler, and he was like, you do know if you bench him, I'm fired. He's like, yeah, I know.
Because if I don't, I might be fired.
Yeah, like he's done. So
good move. Oh, Ryan Grigson in Indy. He's done some good things, but you can't keep
your
job for that long without getting an offensive line.
He's done nothing good. What has he done good?
He drafted T.Y. Hilton.
Is that even that good?
Listen to that pause. T.Y. Hilton's leading the NFL in receiving yards this year. He was like a fourth-round pick out of bumfuck university.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
It's a great pick. That's one. I mean, you cannot give him credit for Andrew Luck, by the way. That is outrageous.
No, you can't. I mean, that's number one pick overall. Well, no, the funniest thing I read the other day was that it's pretty obvious, too. Since the Deflategate mess, since the Ravens and Colts have bitched about Deflategate, neither of them have made the playoffs.
Good, good.
Karma's a bitch.
Karma is a fucking bitch.
And this year, they were both pretty close to making it. And then last week, nope. I mean, it was just great. So, I mean, yeah, not a lot to talk about in this Jets game. There's a lot more to talk about after this game. This game, the important part, like we said last week before going into it in the preview, they needed to win, and they needed to come out with no injuries, and it seems like they've done that pretty well. We won. We beat the shit out of them, which is a confidence booster, and no real serious injuries outside of what we already had.
Exactly, yeah. And another note is Gostkowski was 2 of 2 on field goals. They were both layups, but he was also 5 of 5 on extra points.
Yeah, so Gostkowski has been flawless for the past couple weeks.
Let's knock on wood for that. And
on wood again.
He has certainly turned a corner and seems much more comfortable. I don't know. I mean, he's taken extra points from the left hash now when he always took them dead center. Could that be enough of just like a mental adjustment?
I don't know how better. Yeah, sure, why not? I have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this game is one to be forgotten. The whole Jets are one to be forgotten. They should move to L.A.
The Jets.
I think that's what they should do. They should move them to fucking get them out of there. Uproot them.
Move while you can.
Uproot them completely. They should be completely flipped over and shaken out.
They're already squatters in the Giants stadium.
That's what I'm saying. New York already still has the Giants, so all those fans can go to the Giants if they want, or they can come to the Patriots. That's, you know, fuck the Jets. That's it. They've had their time. They're done.
Mm-hmm. Get out.
Well, yeah.
Then we got to travel to the West Coast twice a year.
So
it's over, and the Pats, I was really hoping that we were going to be able to clinch home field advantage
that week. Yeah.
Cause I don't know. It just, especially after what happened last year, it's like, I know things can go wrong. Think about how confident we were last year going into the Jets and the Dolphins only needing one win or one Broncos loss. And we weren't able to get any of them. And so now we got to go in to Miami. And, I mean, we can go over the rest of these Week 16 games. Miami is coming off of, I mean, they've won 9 out of 10 games.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible.
And now we got to go into Miami, and we're counting on the Broncos to beat the Raiders on the other end of it. So,
well,
I'm a little uncomfortable.
At this point, well, we can dive into that a little bit. So at this point, it looks like the, you know, I would think Denver is going to beat the Raiders.
Why? The Broncos have sucked balls. I mean, they hung in there with the Chiefs. I'll give them that.
They hung in there with the Chiefs. I mean, they got defensively, the end, they played pretty good against us defensively. I mean, they only let up 16 points to Brady. I mean, that's pretty good. And yeah, they scored three. Now, if they can put on, I know, obviously, against the Patriots, that's a much bigger game for them. They're going to play a lot harder in that game than a game that means nothing at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But a Derek Carr-less offense might, like, 10 points might win, you know?
Possibly.
10 points may win.
Yes, but with the Broncos defense, good. It could.
And the Broncos
might be falling apart, though.
They might be falling apart, I know. They could be completely falling apart, but also, you know, this is a division rival. They might want to get up for this game, I would hope. Now, the second part of that is, you know, what in, I mean, Oakland's going to be gunning it for because the Chiefs are right on their doorstep with that. There's a thing that could happen. If the Chiefs win and the Raiders lose, the Chiefs are projected to number two. And even, they can't get number one, though.
No, they can't because they have four losses.
So the Chiefs could get number two. And so everyone's already out, right? This is it. It's the Patriots, Raiders, Steelers, Texans, Chiefs, and Dolphins.
Yeah, it's already set. It's just seeding.
But on top of that, if you look at it a little deeper, compared to last year, I'd say the playoff talent was considerably better than this year, just due to injuries. I mean, you got us. You got the Raiders without Derek Carr. Nobody knows what that's going to be like. But obviously, Derek Carr was in the running for MVP, and you can't expect anything close to that talent coming out of a backup quarterback. So that's a significantly lessened team. You have the Steelers. They're obviously there. They're solid. You got Big Ben there. That's pretty good. You have the Texans, who just changed their quarterback and barely made it into the playoffs with what the hell's the guy's name?
Tom Savage.
Tom Savage. So nobody knows what the hell that's going to be, and it's probably not going to be very good based on their offensive performance all year.
Yeah.
He's probably not the missing key. They would have started him a lot sooner over Osweiler than they did. You got the Chiefs, who have an okay offense, very good defense, but it's Alex Smith at quarterback. He's never been one to win games. You have Andy Reid at coaching, who has been notorious for absolutely blowing big playoff games.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Going back to what?
Super Bowl in 2004.
Okay.
Blown. Playoff game last year, blown. And then there was many more in between.
Those were both to the Pats.
They were both to the Pats.
They were better teams.
I think 2 years ago he did something too where he blew. They had a chance to win.
Oh, that was the game where the wild card round, the Chiefs went into Indy to play the Colts.
Yeah.
And they were up like 24 or something at halftime.
Yeah, and they just pissed away the clock somehow
bad.
And lost. So those are three examples where they blew the – remember in the Super Bowl in 2004, they had like 9 minutes left.
Yeah, it's because McNabb was throwing up.
Oh, tough shit.
Tough shit. What are you going to do, take him out or make him throw up on the ball?
There's it's the Super Bowl. You figure it out. You don't just piss the clock away to lose the game. That's the one thing you don't do.
Sure.
So anyways, on top – and then next in line, you have the Dolphins – who are starting Matt Moore. Now, Matt Moore actually has put together two pretty damn good games.
You
surprisingly.
Think so?
Is he? Well, he's got. It's not bad.
We'll talk about more of it on the preview podcast. But
it's not bad. But
it's not bad, but it's not great.
No.
I'll give you a little teaser here. His completion. Oh, never mind. His completion percentage is less than 60. He's averaging 129 yards per game.
Okay, I thought it was a lot better than that, but that's pretty bad. Okay, so even better.
That includes games that he didn't start.
That's proving my point. Okay, that's proving my point even better, that there's three teams with no quarterback.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time in a playoff series that three teams didn't know what they had on offense because they had new quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's definitely a lighter load. I mean, the only three quarterbacks that are established in the AFC are Brady, Roethlisberger, and Alex Smith. So,
there they are.
Say what you want about Alex Smith, too.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm getting at is if we lose somehow, if the Raiders somehow pull this weekend off against Denver and we lose in that situation, and we have the number two seed, Raiders have number one, the chances of the Raiders getting to the AFC Championship are slightly or drastically decreased because of no Derek Carr. Plus, going to Oakland without Derek Carr being there is a very winnable game in my mind.
I understand. I'm with you 100%. The thing that's more important is that as the two seed, you have to play the highest seed coming in from wild card weekend. And right now, the Steelers are the three seed. And that if they win, it's guaranteed we would have to play them in the divisional round. So you'd want to delay that as much as possible.
Obviously, we want home field advantage, but you know, it's definitely not as daunting as last year going to Denver.
I hear you. Yeah, the way we got started on this topic was that Miami beat Buffalo in overtime and effectively cost Rex Ryan his job in the process.
Yeah.
If they win that game, he keeps his job at least till the end of the season.
Yeah.
You don't get fired after wins.
No.
So that was kind of funny. Jay Ajayi went off. We'll talk more about the Dolphins in the preview podcast. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, cool to see the Dolphins back in the playoffs.
Surprising. I can't believe it.
Good on them. There were a bunch of meaningless games, you know, like Jacksonville and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia on Thursday night surprised a lot of people by beating the Giants. The Giants had won something like 8 out of 9 games, including a game against the Cowboys.
That was huge.
Yeah, and Philly took it to them. I mean, the Giants were playing catch-up the entire game. Makes you feel a little bit better.
Not a little bit. I mean, that makes me feel great. You know, we were talking about last week, this is what the Giants have always done. You know, they go on a run at the end of the season, or at least, you know, they look terrible in the beginning of the season. They go on some kind of run where they look unstoppable, like one of the best teams. They get really hot. And they continue that into the playoffs. And they've done it in 2008 or 2007 and 2012 they did it. So, or 2011? 2012? 2011, I'm sorry. So, then you're getting a little worried, oh my God, they're going to make a run into the playoffs. And then, you know, there's a few NFC teams that aren't looking too great. They might get the Super Bowl. If we get the Super Bowl, they're our kryptonite, all that crap. But they lost to a 5-9 team. It wasn't a beating, but they did not look good.
They didn't look good, and yeah, Philly is not the best 5-9 team. That team started 3-0, so you're talking about 2-9 in their last 11 games.
Yeah,
prior to this one, so that was definitely encouraging for us. It seems silly to look at the NFC and start trembling at a wild card team.
I know, right? But, well, I mean,
we got some PTSD from that team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at what's going on. In the NFC, you got the Cowboys, who lost 2 to the Giants, have looked pretty good. They looked pretty good the other night.
Against the Lions,
they kicked ass. I don't know how Dak Prescott continues to do this well.
He's playing flawlessly.
He's playing very well. Yeah, it's concerning. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's not. He's somebody in disguise. I don't know what's going on.
You think so? He's like third in the NFL in passer rating. Yeah, he's third. As a rookie.
Who's number 1 and 2? Brady and who?
Matt Ryan's 1, Brady's 2.
Matt Ryan's 1?
Yeah, Matt Ryan's MVP. Matt,
he's MVP?
He should be. I don't know why nobody else is talking about
it. I don't know, man.
Are you kidding?
Am I kidding? I'm not kidding. Let's talk a little bit about the MVP race, huh?
Okay, fair enough. A lot of people are saying Brady, but a lot of people are also saying Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. I think that's about it. Derek Carr was there, but now he's not for some reason. You get hurt and you're just out.
He's done. Yeah. Nope. He's out.
That's it. You didn't finish week 16. It's over. I didn't think he deserved it anyway. I thought Dak and Matt Ryan outplayed him. But look at Matt Ryan. 34 touchdowns.
To 7 interceptions.
4,600 yards passing. He's third in the NFL in that. First in passer rating, 115.
That's pretty good.
That's absurd.
That's
like third all-time or something. Third or fourth all-time. That is very, very high. He took a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, and they're sitting at 10-5. They're gonna win the division.
And he has almost 70% completion. Did you say that?
Yeah. I didn't say it, but he leads the NFL in that, right?
Yeah.
He's got the largest yards per pass attempt as well. I mean, he's crushing it. He's being efficient. He's winning games. There's a lot of silence on your end. I'm not hearing a whole lot.
I'm looking.
All right. I'm just saying, I think Matt Ryan is my candidate right now. And I love what Tom Brady's been able to do, but I do think it absolutely takes away from you if you're not able to play a full season. If Ezekiel Elliott only played 12 games, even if it was injury or suspension, however related it was, you'd be like, great, but you didn't play enough.
Well, I mean, my one, you know, they didn't really play many good teams.
Neither did we. We had the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Did we?
Yeah, the Pats did.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I heard that a couple weeks ago. I'm passing it off as if it's still a fact.
I don't believe that holds weight. No. I don't know. My, you know, you look at Brady. Brady's got 25 touchdowns, the two interceptions.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
I know. It's good. It's definitely good. It's great.
If you do projections through, if he missed the four games, he would be at like, I don't know, high, what is it, 20?
This is going to be real fun. All right, everybody, settle in. Let's watch JJ do fractions.
Math. He'd have 33 touchdowns and three interceptions.
Wow, that was impressive. Way to go.
Yeah, like that, right. That's pretty simple math. So 33 interceptions to 33 touchdowns to three interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's MVP.
This is also only through 11 games.
This is through, 11 games.
Because
25
he's gonna play
his 12th. In two.
So if he does another three
touchdowns.
Oh, I'm
sorry, right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Let's say he throws for two touchdowns and no interceptions. Then that goes up to 36 and three.
Which is ridiculous.
That's nice.
That's what I'm saying. Now, I mean, Matt Ryan, you look at what he's done. He played Carolina, San Francisco, L.A., then Kansas City, which is nice, Arizona, Philly, Tampa, Green Bay when they sucked, San Diego they lost to, Seattle they lost to, Denver was good, Carolina sucks, New Orleans sucks, Oakland's
easy.
Good.
Easy. You could go through our schedule and say the exact same thing. Sucks. Backup quarterback. Yeah. Anyway, he's got great numbers. His team's doing well. That's my guy. Who do you got?
Take a guess.
Of course you got Tommy. Of course you do.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? Kirk Cousins is second in the NFL in passing yards.
That is stunning.
Wow. Wow is right.
That is stunning.
I guess elsewhere in the league last week, Cleveland Browns got on the board.
They won against San Diego, those poor fucks.
San Diego is just, ugh. The worst fourth quarter team imaginable. Mike McCoy, I like him. I don't think he's a bad coach. You can't keep your job after falling apart for so many years in a row.
Well, how long has he been on there, Steph?
He's been there since, I believe, 2012. So five really? Seasons.
Yeah, that's time.
He coached. The reason he got hired was because he took Tim Tebow to the playoffs. He was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Broncos. That was 2011.
Right. True.
So I think he was hired there in 2012. He's had a good run. I mean, he's had a long run, and they just haven't improved. So I think it's probably time to see him go. The Buccaneers lost a heartbreaker to New Orleans.
Yeah.
They had a chance to still be in the divisional race. They had a chance to, I think they still have a chance at the playoffs right now.
They do.
They had a chance to take the inside lead.
They somehow have a chance. I guess if, I really don't know what has to happen.
They had a better record than whoever they're going up against. So that's tough. Second year quarterback, stuff like that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I think if everyone in the NFC in the playoffs right now loses, they have a chance to get in. If they win, I don't know. I don't really know. It doesn't make sense to me. But that might work. I don't know.
How about the Cardinals beating the Seahawks?
Yeah.
Big time. Those Seahawks. Teams play classic games every time. The last time they played was that overtime game that was like 9-6.
Yeah.
This time it was 34-31. They're all over the map.
Yeah.
Last year when they played on Sunday Night Football, it was like this. It was in the 30s. You never know what to expect. That's must-see TV.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking the Seahawks, man. Yikes. That offensive line is atrocious.
Yeah.
It's as bad as it gets.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you look at what's going on from the NFC standpoint. Packers got hot.
Yeah.
That's not good for them. But not good for anybody else. But the Seahawks, they're not what they used to be. They, you know, Earl Thomas isn't there. Chancellor's banged up. He had to come out for a little last game. I think he came back in, but you know, that's a situation worth monitoring. The Falcons, like you said, Matt Ryan's having a great year, but they kind of lost all the good teams they played this year. Or
they
at least
have
most of them.
They have serious holes on defense.
Yeah, there's that. We all know what the Cowboys are capable of, but the other side of the coin for the Cowboys is the chances of this flame, this rookie flame, dying out in the playoffs increases every single week that they have a good, like, the better they get, the more likely it is that they fall off a cliff somewhere in the playoffs.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, it's just, you know, they've been doing a really good job with it. Just the more they, the better and better they play, it's like, well, everyone hits a rookie wall. You know, is this guy going to just play flawless and win the Super Bowl? Like, no, it can't happen. Like, it can't statistically happen. There's no way.
A first for everything.
There is a first. I'd just be stunned. Then you got the Giants, who everyone thought was really hot, and then just got beaten pretty well by the Eagles, which was surprising. And then the Lions, who have played well and are a good run-and-gun team type of thing, but nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, it's the Lions, so how dangerous could they really be?
And they needed 8 fourth-quarter comebacks.
Yeah.
8. That's a stat. 8 out of their, what, 10 wins?
9.
9 wins, yeah.
And then they play the Packers this week, which is a very big game. That's a good game.
Well, that's not even that big a game. Because it's just for, what, the 4-6 seed? Is that what it's for?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that big a deal.
It's going from going, it's having the Giants come to you versus going to Seattle.
Oh, Seattle's going to be a 3?
Yeah.
Oh, because the Falcons snuck ahead. Yeah, that is a pretty big one. Good call.
That could be dangerous. So, yeah.
The only other game that matters that we didn't talk about was the Steelers with that epic fourth quarter between the Steelers and Ravens, where it's just going up and down and up and down.
Well, and the way it ended, too. The Ravens needed a touchdown, and they got it!
They got it.
They fucking got it. And then it was just too much time.
Then the Steelers just balled out, and with like 15 seconds to go, they run a slant with no timeouts. I'm like, are you kidding? What if he doesn't get in?
And he got it. Yeah. With no time on the clock left.
Was
it ticked down to 0?
No, it didn't.
There was still time?
There was like 8 seconds or something left.
Oh, okay.
But it was going to be probably not possible to spike the ball.
Yeah.
So that was the last play of the game.
I know, he barely got it too.
Yeah, good for him. Antonio Brown, stud. Not great for us. I didn't really want to see the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
But I mean, between the Steelers and the Ravens, it's kind of a toss-up in my mind.
Yeah, but we already beat the fuck out of the Ravens with a full squad. Okay. we got a little hand signals going on here. But yeah, Le'Veon Bell looked great. Antonio Brown, amazing. Le'Veon Bell won team MVP for the Steelers. They're like the only team in the league that I know of that does this. That they do. What the hell's going on?
What happened? Hello?
I just paused it. What the hell's going on here?
I don't know. My mic just shut off. Is it on? Hello?
I can hear you, but it sounds way different.
Nothing?
No. I can hear you. It just sounds different. Nothing on the mic.
Fuck this up.
Does it sound better now?
Yeah, much.
I don't know. I have no idea what happened. Okay. Anyways, I was just going to say, do you want to just do the preview lopped into this one? It's kind of short. Because we've kind of already covered a lot of shit. But it's up to you. If you want to do a separate show, I would.
Yeah, let's just lump it in. Fuck it.
Well, because I was, you know, we're talking about the playoff picture and everything.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we going to talk about for the next one?
Good point. All right. Here we go. Yeah, the Steelers do that MVP thing, and I don't know anybody else that does that. It's always
elaborate on this.
The Steelers give a team MVP every
really?
Year. Really? Yeah, and Ben Roethlisberger hasn't won it in like 7 years because Antonio Brown keeps taking it. Now Le'Veon Bell's grabbing it.
You think he gets mad about that?
Nah, I mean, he likes those guys. Le'Veon Bell's going to be a free agent. He's definitely getting franchise tagged, no doubt.
Wow, yeah, that's big.
Unless they sign him to a long-term deal, but he's not seeing free agency. Definitely getting franchise tagged. Anyway, I'm getting off track here. Playoff picture is set. We want the Pats to get home field advantage, and in order to do that, they need to beat the Dolphins in Miami on Sunday. We just, for you, those of you listening at home, we just decided to go ahead and do the preview podcast right now. So here we go.
Yeah.
The Dolphins have won 9 out of their last 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in. That's
pretty impressive.
That's the same as the Patriots. Over the last 10 games, they have the same winning percentage as the Pats.
Wow.
Pretty unbelievable for the Dolphins, who were led by mediocre Ryan Tannehill, and for the last couple of weeks have Matt Moore at the helm, who hasn't seen the field in like 4 years.
Even more mediocre.
Oh, did you make a pun with the Moore there? Oh, that was nice of you.
You like that?
Yeah. The big thing we played the Dolphins in week two, and Jimmy Garoppolo is the starting quarterback. Everybody remembers how great he was in the first half, and everybody equally remembers how awful the defense was in the second half.
Yeah.
When we went up, we were up like 28-0, and then it finished like 35-28 or something. I can look it up, but the defense fell apart in the second half. It was 31-24 final. This is a totally different team now. Both the Patriots and the Dolphins are totally different teams. Obviously, the Patriots get Tom Brady back. We've had some emerging players from Malcolm Mitchell. Garrett Blunt has had a terrific season. Marcus Cannon's playing great at right tackle. Defensively, we're missing Jamie Collins, but we've had other guys step up. Van Noy, we're seeing more edge rush. Trey Flowers has become a very good player. Eric Rowe is a starting cornerback now. So you can see there's a lot of differences on the Patriots side. It's equally different on the Dolphins side, where Jay Ajayi is like fifth in the NFL in rushing.
I was just going to say, the guy's got 1,200 yards. He pretty much didn't play for the first five games.
Yeah, he was stuck behind Arian Foster, who was playing like dog shit.
I mean, I guess the fifth game, they gave him 13 carries. But after that, you know, 25, 28 carries, 24, you know, two dozen carries a game. In the first three games, he had over 500 yards. So yeah, he exploded onto the scene.
He's gone over 200 yards three times this season, 200 yards in a game.
Now, he's definitely had some pedestrian games as well, but those games where he's went off weren't against slouch teams, too. Well, there were two against Buffalo, so there's that. And then Pittsburgh. So, not the worst teams in the league by any means, or the worst defenses.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been playing very well, and, I mean, there are some similarities from what we would expect. Jarvis Landry is a focal point of the offense. He's been targeted like 120 times on the season.
Wow. Which
averages out to like 9 times a game almost. He gets the ball a lot on screens, crossers, shallow stuff. The other thing that's happened opposite him, Devontae Parker, who was a first-round pick last year, basically did nothing up until this season. He played okay against us in the first game, but it wasn't until they were playing catch-up ball and we were in prevent. But since then, he's really come on, and he's been a good sideline threat. He catches the ball deep. He can go up and get it. He's starting to live up to his potential and draft status.
Actually, he had a pretty big game against us.
I know, he did.
100 yards, over 106 yards. I mean, that's not bad.
Only on a couple catches.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean, eight catches?
Did he really?
Eight catches for 106.
I'm misremembering this game so
much. Bite your tongue, Sean.
You're right. Anyway, no, he's continued to progress, and he's a pretty good player opposite Jarvis Landry, who is their version of Julian Edelman.
Yeah, and they still had Kenny Stills. I mean, he didn't do, he's got 685. You know, I don't know what to think. I honestly haven't seen them that much. It's funny, for a team that's been playing so well, they really haven't been playing on prime time at all.
No, because, they didn't really have a winning record until a couple weeks ago, and they haven't had that many high-profile opponents.
Yeah. Where are they ranked? Let's see. So, offensively, they're ranked 16th with 23.3 points a game, 336 yards overall. That's 22nd. 26th in passing yards, so 219 versus 9th in rushing. That's for offensively.
Yep.
So they're pretty much, right in the middle there.
It's a rushing offense.
It's a rushing offense.
More interceptions than touchdowns on offense. Yeah.
So, very rush-based offense.
No. I take that back. 25 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
I was going to say, that is a ridiculous stat.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Defensively, not much better. I mean, they're the 14th ranked offense based on points, or on defense, 23 points allowed per game, 14th. 381 yards per game. That's 30th in the league. So,
oh yeah,
not great there. Passing yards, they're letting up 239 a game. That's 13th, but that could be so low because they let up 141 rushing yards a game, which ranks them 30th in the league.
How about that?
So they defend the pass possibly because they can't defend the run. So people just decide to run on them. But clearly, it hasn't been working out to people's advantage because, they've been winning. So, it's interesting there. Third down percentage, they're about a third. They're right around 33%. So, nothing spectacular there.
Is that on offense?
That's on offense.
Ooh, that's no good.
Yeah, not that's good. No good. Defensively, they're letting up right around a third. So that's not
that's
bad.
That's
70 for
good.
201. So they're getting off the field. But like you said, Ryan Tannehill, I mean, not that he was playing well at all. But when you do lose your starting quarterback for a backup, it does shake things up a little bit. It's not comfortable for the guys on offense, so you can always expect a little bit of the downfall, even though they're not really a passing offense. Imagine if they had a good quarterback.
They'd be really good.
Yeah, right?
They'd be really good. And they're paying Tannehill like he's a good quarterback.
I know.
He's
ridiculous.
Not.
He's definitely not.
He's not.
Somehow he's got a 93%. He's got a 93.5 passer rating.
Is that
he's
right?
He's actually very good. With 67.1% completion rating.
That's how.
That's both pretty good, but then he's only got 19 touchdowns for 12 interceptions.
That's one of the real issues with passer rating is that it's only calculated by completions, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, and interceptions. That's
right.
It.
Yeah.
It doesn't take into account situations, opponents, third down conversions, red zone efficiency, nothing.
That's why Matt Moore has a better passer rating than he does.
Why? Because he's got more yards or something?
No, just statistically, he's better.
Yeah, it's a very simple statistic. That's why a lot of people go for QBR more so. Yeah, their offense is it's all about Jay Ajayi, and it's all about Jarvis Landry. Up front, they got Brandon Albert at left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, first-round pick at left guard. They're missing Mike Pouncey, who's on IR, their Pro Bowl center.
Yep.
They're filling in with Anthony Steen there. At right guard, they got Jermon Bushrod, who is a house. He's a tackle for most of his career. Juwan James at right tackle, who's another first-round pick. They got big boys up front. They got a good skill on both sides. They have four tackles playing on their starting O-line. Seriously, both guards are really tackles. So we'll see what we can do there, but that should be a good pass blocking front for them. And we know
especially run blocking.
Yeah, we know what they like to do, which is run the ball with Jay Ajayi. He came up kind of gimpy last week with a shoulder injury in overtime. It says he was limited in practice.
He's
gonna play.
He's going. I mean they're playing for seeding. Are they playing still for a spot or have they clinched?
They clinched a spot, but they're playing for five or six. And there so many things have to happen for them to get five. I think they have to win and the Chiefs have to lose and there might be one other thing. No, that might be it. But the Chiefs are playing the Chargers. The fucking Chargers, man.
Yeah.
I don't see that changing. So their offense, it's all going to be about stopping the run, which we know how to do. We've been doing a pretty good job of that. And then it's going to be about locking down Jarvis Landry. And other than that, don't get beat deep.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's been fueling them. They turned into a real second-half team. That's what Bill Belichick said. He said they're the best second-half team in football. And a lot of their drives are sustained by big plays.
Yeah.
So we got to really limit the big plays. I mean, their average plays per drive is 32nd in the NFL. They're not good at sustaining drives.
They don't sustain drives at all.
And that's what our defense does, is they force you to earn each first down. You get one first down, and then, you know, we'll tighten up when we get to the red zone. And that's why yardage-wise, we're not as high as we are points-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that strategy is going to work out just fine against this team. No big plays. Tackle Jarvis Landry, and don't let Jay Ajayi break some shit. And we should be totally fine defensively.
Easily. And then, we face bigger tasks defensively this year. That's pretty much it. There's not much else to it. When you were talking about Patriots yards per defense, they're actually eighth in total yards right now.
I saw that. Isn't that crazy?
So not only has the number one
been our whipping boy the entire season,
they've been shitting on them
in like everything.
They're top 10 in everything outside of passing yards. They're 14th.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad. I mean, that's average. And then they're ranked third against the rush. So we talk about Jay Ajayi, this great running game. Well, I mean, I'm stunned to see that we're only giving up 89.5 yards a game. So that's pretty impressive.
Pretty dang good. It helps to play with the lead. And we haven't been taking the ball away as much for the
recently
season.
Recently,
we've really turned that up. So if we can continue that even adds to our chances.
Yeah.
Now, defensively for the Dolphins, they got some talent. We I mean, you brought up the stats where they're 30th in the NFL in yards, mm-hmm. and they're 30th in rushing yards against. So mm-hmm. that seems like the logical place to start when you're attacking them. Do you remember
just run the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Which team did we play recently that was terrible against the run? I can't exactly remember which one it was. It might have been the Rams. I mean, the Broncos weren't that great against the run, and we did.
I remember the Broncos, maybe Seattle.
Seattle's pretty good against the run. It might have been the Rams or the Niners. I think it was the Rams, though. And we kind of we pushed it on the ground a little bit. We definitely saw that against the Broncos, where we kept feeding Deion Lewis because we didn't feel that confident in protecting the passer, or we felt it was riskier to have mm-hmm. to protect the passer like that. And this is one of those fronts where you're like, I don't know how many times I want to just drop straight back and let you guys come get me.
Right.
With Cameron Wake, who's having another terrific season. That dude is ageless. He's like 34, 35.
Is he doing that well?
He's doing pretty good. I haven't checked the numbers, but I think he made the Pro Bowl. You got Ndamukong Suh, obviously, on the inside. Jordan Phillips, another big body next to him.
11.5 sacks, 5 forced fumbles.
For Cam Wake, yeah.
Yeah, stud. It's not shoddy.
And he's coming off, what, an Achilles last year?
Yeah, I thought he was done.
Wow,
stud. Earl Mitchell's also on the inside. He's a veteran. Mario Williams is ready to go on the opposite Cameron Wake. They also got Jason Jones. They got Andre Branch. A couple guys that can come after the passer.
Yeah.
So I think it would... Obviously, we're going to try to run the ball, but I think we're going to heavily run the ball this time.
I do, too. Especially, you know, that's one of our strongest points right now is our run game. And obviously, we don't want any injuries there. But like you said, I mean, look at past games when Brady goes... This is in Miami. So when you look at past games when Brady's gone to Miami, he's had some trouble down there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole team has. I mean, you just think of it from a logistics standpoint. These guys are practicing in 30-degree weather right now, and we're going down to 70, 80-degree temperatures.
I checked. Supposed to be 79 on game day.
Yeah. That's... Imagine going and running around fucking 70 degrees right now, 80 degrees. I'd be dying.
And it's humid.
And humid. I mean, I don't know what these guys... You know, that's not easy. Doesn't matter how much you train in fucking cold weather. It's fucking hard. So Brady's always had a tough time. They usually have his number down there, especially Cameron Wake. He took the throne on from Jason Taylor all those years ago from Brady, you know, just destroying Brady. Now, Cameron Wake, you know, Vollmer has had his number in recent battles, but Cameron Wake's done pretty well as well. So
tall task for Marcus Cannon, see if he can follow up that Von Miller performance.
But I know I'm just thinking like that's what I'm, you know. Marcus Cannon has kicked some defensive ends' asses this year.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what happens. I mean, Cameron Wake is more, he's not really a finesse guy. He's just kind of a bull rush guy. So he's not, and there's not a lot of true DNs that are just bull rushers like that anymore. So it is different than what you usually see.
He's also got speed. He's got length.
And he's mostly just tries to run right through you. I mean, that's his move.
Yeah, he's very aggressive.
So we'll see what happens there. But like you said, I wouldn't expect anything less than 30, maybe even 40 carries this fucking game.
We had 40 last game.
Yeah.
I mean, split between Blunt picking up 20, and then you got Dion, James White, however many end arounds you want to play with.
Yeah.
I could see a lot of that for sure.
I think they're definitely going to try and lighten the load on Brady a little bit. And it's doable.
He just missed practice again this week with that thigh injury.
It's so definitely very doable to go in there, run the ball, and win this game. And if Oakland loses, then we don't even have to fucking play. But I don't think – I guess we do have to mention Belichick. When they asked him about resting his starters, did you see that?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't understand the question. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, because he was like, what's a starter? Define starter.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And because, I mean, is Kyle Van Noy a starter? If he's playing 55% of our defensive snaps, is that a starter? What about Alan Branch, who's maybe playing 45%? Is he a starter? It's like, it gets confusing.
We know what a starter is.
Well, there's just not enough people. You could rest your stars.
Oh, yeah.
You could rest, like, Brady, Edelman, I don't even know who, Butler, McCourty defensively.
Marty,
obviously, because he's still banged up. Man, he just cannot get healthy. We won't let him rest.
No, I know. Well, hopefully he's going to have 2 weeks, so.
Yep. Hopefully that'll
be a lot of time.
Behind that defensive line for the Dolphins, they got Kiko Alonso at middle linebacker, who's playing well. He's the one that injured Garoppolo.
Yeah, he's had a good year.
Yeah, he's a very mobile middle linebacker. They also got Donald Butler and Jelani Jenkins at linebacker. Jelani Jenkins missed practice this week, so we'll see if he's able to go. On the back end, the other guy they acquired in that Kiko Alonso trade, Byron Maxwell, cornerback from the Eagles, formerly the Seahawks.
He's not having a bad year.
He's also banged up. He missed practice.
Oh, he did? He's got 4 forced fumbles on the year.
Ooh, look at him.
Yeah, it's not bad.
They also got Tony Lippett at cornerback. This is one of my favorite guys. He was a receiver / cornerback at Michigan State. He's like 6'2".
Played both ways?
Played both ways.
Started?
Yeah. Wow. He was a better receiver, but because he's 6'2", 195, he was going to have a better chance making it as a cornerback. So they picked him up in the 5th round, and so far I think he's got 4 or 5 interceptions on the year. So he seems like he's doing pretty well. They also have Xavien Howard at the other cornerback position. He was a 2nd-round pick this year, rookie. And at safety, Bakari Rambo.
Sick name.
Anything? I know, right? Isn't that the best name?
It's just a sick name.
He was a good player at Georgia. And then they got Michael Thomas at the other free safety position.
He was somewhere else. Yeah, he's jumped around a little bit. I recognize him. No, Rambo.
Oh, Rambo, yeah. He used to be on the Niners.
No, it looks like he was on the Redskins and then the Bills.
Oh, how about that?
Not the Niners.
Not the Niners?
Yeah, so overall okay defense, but middle of the pack. Nothing we've seen much better. We've picked apart much better. I mean, we just go from playing the top, 2 or 3 defenses in the last couple weeks to number 15. So
It's not our tallest task by any stretch.
No, and we should definitely have a chance. So what do you think?
You got to feel pretty confident about this game. I don't think that our offense is going to be out there trying to chuck the ball down the field and rack up a ton of points, but I think we'll still get 27 offensively.
Okay. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. What else?
And then our defense is playing really well. I don't want to say that too loud, but I think it's going to be 27-13.
Okay. All right. I was going to say 27-10. Wow. We're on the same page there.
I think the spread from Vegas initially was like 6 and then has moved a little bit since then.
-6 for the Pats. All right.
Nothing. How about last week? Pats -17 and they cover almost double. More than double.
I couldn't believe that. I thought there was no chance they were going to cover that. And they just blew the fucking crap out of the Jets.
Bad ass.
So we've went over the playoff scenario a little bit already. What do you want to happen?
Well, I want the Pats to win and get the first seed. I want the Raiders to win and get the second seed. And then I guess if those two things happen, then it's guaranteed that the Chiefs are the 5 and the Dolphins are the 6. And then the Steelers being I think the Steelers are locked into the 3.
I think they are.
They're See only now. A game up on the Texans, but whatever the tiebreaker is, I believe goes they to must the Steelers.
Own it. Yeah. I would obviously like the Patriots to win. I want to see the Chiefs win and the Raiders lose.
You want the Chiefs to go to 2?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then the only chance we have to see them is in the AFC Championship. I think they're the toughest team right now.
Okay. So then you're going to have a divisional round matchup potentially of the Chiefs and Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Ah, I like the way you're thinking, actually.
You know, because I figure whoever goes to Oakland is probably going to win.
Yeah. So then the Pats would have whoever the highest seed remaining is of the Texans, Raiders, and Dolphins.
Exactly.
You got in the first game that we play. I think I changed my mind.
Wow, I swung it, huh?
Yeah, you convinced me.
Because, I mean, that's the way you break it down. It's if the Chiefs come in 2, like you just said, now the odds of seeing them or the Steelers is much less. Well, it's not even existent. You can't.
You can't
and
see
those,
both.
And those are the two best teams in the AFC. And then, like you said, so Dolphins comes down to Dolphins, Texans, and Raiders. Without Raiders, without Carr, I mean, I don't see any of those teams being a huge problem after we've had 2 weeks to study, 2 weeks rest, all that shit. And the Chiefs or Steelers, you're probably going to see one of them anyways in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
I would love for them to both lose, but that's probably not going to happen.
No.
And they have a pretty good shot at seeing each other anyways.
What do you mean?
Like seeding wise.
Oh, no, it'd be hard for the Chiefs to go down to 6.
Well, no, but if the Texans win, the Steelers, well,
I
no, you're right.
I want to say the Steelers still have the 3 seed locked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, there's not that many games this weekend that really have an impact on us. There's obviously our game, the Raiders game. The Chiefs are playing San Diego, so they should probably roll in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll pretty much lock up AFC playoff seeding. And then in the NFC, there's just that kind of that scramble for the last position
mm-hmm.
between the Redskins and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay sitting at 8-7. The Redskins 8-6-1. There might be somebody else. Oh, the Lions. Lions
yeah.
and
Packers. The Lions and Packers. That'll be a good game because that is for, like we said, seeding, as we mentioned earlier. It's the difference between if they win going to Seattle or hosting at home for Green Bay if they win. Or the Lions, too. Either one, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
And at home versus Seahawks.
If I'm not mistaken, the Redskins at 8-6-1, if they win, they would leapfrog whoever loses in that Green Bay Detroit game, because Green Bay and Detroit, they're both 9-7, which means they're both 9-6.
Oh, and one of them would be 9-7.
The loser's going to be 9-7. So if the Redskins win, they go to 9-6-1.
Wow!
And I believe that would give them the sixth seed. How about that? Big game for them, huh?
Sucks to be the Lions.
Yeah, the Redskins are hosting the Giants, who don't have anything to play for.
Yep.
Wow, that might be a good situation for the Redskins.
Does the Giants have nothing to play for?
I think they have the 5 seed locked up.
Oh, that's right. They can't because
they're 10-5, and nobody else can. The only team that
they can't touch Dallas.
Yeah, those guys, like between Green Bay and Detroit, the winner will go to 10-6, but they'll win the division, so mm-hmm. they won't be in the wild card seeding. So yeah, I don't think the Giants have anything to play for. They might rest some people, and the Redskins have everything to play for, and they're at home.
And then I don't. It says the Bucs are still in the hunt. I don't know what has to happen for the Buccaneers to win. Or to get in. They're playing the Panthers, so obviously they have to win that game. That's going to bring them to 9-7.
So they must have a tiebreaker over either Green Bay or Detroit.
Right.
Or both.
Or maybe, I doubt both.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to believe. But.
Well, that means that Sunday night game is going to be real exciting between Green Bay and Detroit, because that's, especially if the Redskins win earlier, that's going to have a ton on the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can Aaron Rodgers do it? Can they get six straight to get into the playoffs?
This is what Rodgers said. He said, we're gonna run the table, and then we're going to play for our division in the last game of the year, and we're going to win it. And that's what he said, and that's what's happening. So,
ballsy.
Ballsy call, but hey, the guy knows what's going on, apparently.
I hope the Lions win.
I do, too, but there's no way they win.
Probably not. Even though it's in Detroit, there's just no way.
I mean, it's Detroit. You know everything's going to fall apart for them somehow. Like, something's going to go wrong. They're just one of those poor bastard teams that just can't get it right.
You got that right. Was there anything else you wanted to go over?
What has happened in... Well, I thought it was interesting today, or it was either... Yes, I don't know when it happened. Today, yesterday, where Belichick was asked about the progression of the D-tackles being Vincent Valentine and Malcolm Brown, and he kind of shot the question down and responded that Alan Branch has been a hell of a D-tackle this year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of interesting and pretty cool.
Well, Malcolm Brown got sat for the first like three quarters last week against the Jets.
I think because he missed a meeting.
Yeah, that was allegedly what they said.
So take that with you what you will. I don't know.
Yes, Alan Branch has been our best D tackle.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's great.
I don't know anybody that would dispute that. Did he have anything to say about the DNs?
Not that I saw, no.
God damn, will Trey Flowers get some talk?
He's been playing great.
He's a good player.
Yeah. But, no, that was it. That's it. That's all I needed to say.
That's about it.
I've said what I've needed to say.
Good. That's what we're here for. We're here so you can vent.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I guess that will wrap up the Patriots podcast, Week 16 recap / Week 17 preview edition. We just tried to give it to you guys all in one round here. Keep it simple.
Yeah,
Keep it simple.
Old times.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate all the support you guys give, and we'll be back next week to recap this game.
Absolutely.
See ya.
Adios.